Episode 164 of Talking Bollocks Blog. You'll be going out. It's me, 30 Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by
Emma Doran.
Right. So back to the point. Yeah, so Coolio.
Coolio broke the mic, man.
Coolio.
You know Coolio.
Do I what? Of course I know.
Yeah, Coolio broke the bleeding mic.
Sorry, RIP.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace to Coolio, man. How straight.
The big one when I was a kid was Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah.
Fucking going around singing as 10 years old. Like,
yeah, no, acting the gangster in the flats.
Or on the money. Yeah. So he was in there and he had his DJ with him and he was like, my DJ is okay. Going to do the episode as well. And we were like, but we don't have any chairs or a mic for him. And he's like, it's grand. And he just couldn't get the mic out of the stand and just pulled it and it snapped. And he was like, yeah, we'll share this. And we were like, sound cool, yo. So every time now, Terrence, it sounds.
I get the blame every week now. He was like, get me sparkling water. And I was like, we have a still water there, Coolio. Yeah. We're looking for that. And he was like, get me sparkling water. And I was like, all right, big fella. Relax yourself.
Oh, yes, yeah. There you go. Never meet your heroes, but.
Never meet your heroes. Two of us are devastated.
Never able to watch an episode of Keenan and Kel ever again because he sings the intro to it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about that. Keenan and Kel. Are you not too young for Keenan and Kel? Oh, no, you were probably you were probably watching the repeats, were you?
How old do you think we are?
What are you... 30?
Oh, we haven't actually done this for a while. Give us the two of our ages there. And
we're both 30.
This
30.
Oh, wow.
How heartbreaking is that? No, she's gonna
well,
take it back
on.
Now.
Go on.
Okay, I would... Right, if I saw you walking down the street, I would say... You seem like you're annoyed with the answer. But I would say 30.
Okay.
And I would say...
Now be careful, Emma.
28.
I think she was on the ball there. She said, 2 years at 40, and then you start saying, I'm heartbroken. And she was like, right, drop
you
that.
You nailed the crack there.
I dropped it a little. So what are the ages?
I'm only 22.
Okay, so no. You've had a tough
No, I'm 27.
You've obviously never listened to an episode.
27.
Yeah, 27.
But I wanted to just come in and get to know you. So I have no idea what to expect. But I saw he's on the late, but you know what I mean?
Podcast works the opposite way that we get to know you.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
But just a quick one while we're on this topic. We've done that about five or six guests, asked them how old we are, and no one ever gave me any younger than 30.
What age am I?
You're 40.
22.
I'm not 40.
Yeah, 39.
Yeah, I'm 39. I'm 40 in June, so I'm kind of starting to get my head around being 40.
You looked that up, did you? Because that's such a brave thing to just say.
40.
She says I'm 40.
You always go under 25. Now, if you don't know, you just go under 25 and hope for the best. Yeah.
That's I'm 25, then I know the person's lying. If somebody said to me 32, I'd be like, oh, thanks. I take, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we'll give you that. We'll give you early 40s.
I'd say thanks. You'd easily get away with 34, 35.
That's fine. That's grand. Yeah.
But like, if you come in and like, I'm 35, like, yeah, no questions asked.
I wouldn't question it. Okay.
No.
Grand.
Right, so here we are. Emma, you've never listened to an episode of this.
No. I should have, shouldn't I?
Probably, yeah.
But I don't really listen to a lot of podcasts because I have this fear that ideas will seep into my brain and I'll use them as my own.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So like, you start talking about like DMT and MMA on your own podcast and because you were listening to Joe Rogan or something.
I could do, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to explain something to you. I mean, we do a thing on this podcast called Zingers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an either or a would you rather.
Oh, okay, perfect.
We've done them on the Late Late Show.
Yes, I did. I saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got one for us? Any off the top of your head?
So the thing I...
Would you rather?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather... Every time you laughed, you farted or you burped?
Do you know what? I happened before. Have you ever farted when you laughed?
Yeah, I do it probably daily.
Yeah, it's poxy because you're like, that wasn't me, but it was you.
Yeah, literally.
You're like, oh, bollocks.
Yeah, I'd go fart.
I'd say belch. Yeah, belch. Just because it's the inconvenience of a fart. You're like, we're having a good time. Now it's stinking. Thanks, Terrence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a tricky one though, isn't it?
Unless you're belching someone's face, they're not going to smell it. Whereas if you, Emma says something now, you have a laugh and you let a little fart.
It might happen.
You're going to ruin the whole essence of the podcast.
There's a chance it might happen, Emma.
Yeah, that would be a great compliment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but like...
Oh, he was laughing so much he let out a little fart. I was like, chuffed with myself.
Here we go now.
Yeah.
Me sitting there squeezing. What would you go with, Emma, for that one?
I think if it was a silent fart, I think I'd go with the fart.
But if it's right. not, you're going to.
Yeah, but if it's not, I'm going with the burr.
You don't know what it's going to be. It could be any kind of fart.
Oh, there's
a range
true.
Of farts out there.
There is.
A cheeky one could be a loud one, could
there's
be a long one.
There's a spectrum of farts,
there
yeah.
is a spectrum, yeah.
Do you know, maybe the fart, maybe it could be my thing then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know you want Emma and every time she laughs, she farts.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool thing.
You'd have Graham Norton with that kind of stuff, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, seems like that, doesn't it? On the sofa. On the chair.
On the red the chair, yeah.
I have a zinger here. Okay. And I actually think it's a good one. Like, I might have been sitting here thinking. Okay. So when you said boop, we say belch, and then it's like boop or belch. Do you get me?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But we've done all of them.
What was the word you said at the start, Emma, that absolutely...
Faffin.
Falafel.
No, not falafel.
What was it again?
Faffin. Faffin about. No?
Faffin about.
Has anyone ever heard of the term faffin?
Shall we take
this? Oh, you're the first person ever to call me up on this.
When you faffin. Said it, I didn't know what you meant. I thought it was a term for like something you do on stage because you're a performer. And I was like, how come we've never heard of this? And you were like, oh, you know, you're faffing. And I was like, no.
When you're busy doing something, but you're not actually doing anything, and you're kind of like, oh.
No? No, I'd never heard that term in my life.
Faffing.
No.
But Calvin wouldn't let it go either.
No,
I know that.
He had a gangster movie of it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, have I offended you or something?
Which
is very.
It triggered something in my head. I was like, what is she?
We were trying to greet her and all. We were like, look, how
faffing? Like, what's like, that?
Like, faffing and all.
Is that a verb?
It's not a verb. He did actually say
it. I did say it's a verb.
You asked me. You said it's not a verb.
It is a verb.
Yeah.
Google it.
Right. Well, here's the zinger, anyways. Yeah.
Okay.
Let it go, Calvin. That would
no problem.
Right. Would you rather stumble over nothing?
Okay.
What happened to me on the way in?
Oh, we nearly had a bad fall there a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, it was a bad one. We got lunch just before we met you, and I slipped on a drain, didn't I?
Yeah.
But like, I slid.
As he slid, he stared at me.
Yeah, I just made eye contact with Terrence, like, help.
What did you do?
But then I was all right. Like, just regained my balance, and I was fresh then.
But
get a fry?
On off a fry.
Oh, yeah. When
you know when it's a bad one.
Fry.
You get all tense in your back, and you think you have to pull the muscle. I'm like, I think I'm about to pull the muscle.
Bad one. So would you rather stumble over nothing every time you take 100 steps?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Or knock a glass over every third drink?
Do you know what? I'd probably stumble over nothing.
Every 100 steps forever.
I'm quite clumsy, yeah.
Look, what if your 100th step was walking out onto the light like?
Oh, it's a bad one, isn't it?
You'd but it nearly be the clip, though, wouldn't it? It's just a stumble. It's not a fall.
No, but it's a stumble. Embarrassing.
Oh, what kind of a stumble are we talking
that
here?
Stumble that takes you know your heart like, away.
That one. That one.
Like the top half of your body is falling, but your bottom
my heart wouldn't be able for that now. All the
and
time.
That's the telly.
Yeah.
And you'd be counting your steps. You'd be like, I'm on 92 steps and I'd walk out here, bollocks.
And if I sat down with the step, start again?
Well, after you stumble, your next step goes.
Oh, back. I have to get to 100 steps. I couldn't get to 99, sit down for a while, and then get up again.
Imagine your wedding day. You'd be out in front of the church pacing. And you're like, right, there's a stumble right now. I walk down the aisle.
Oh, are people still getting married anymore? Are they?
Wait, a couple of weddings coming up myself now. I'm not going to.
Well, I like other people's weddings, but I've no interest in myself. I've no interest in walking down the aisle in a dress.
Why is that?
Churlish.
No, it's not communion. Not that it's childish. I don't know. I've never been interested in getting married, doing the big dress, all
not
that.
Engaged.
Not engaged, no. I think we would go and get married like some afternoon, just say, oh, we should get married, you know, like kids, taxes, all that.
That day on went past, didn't it? Where the
29th. Yeah, so I've been told.
Last
no.
month, was it?
29th, a leap year.
Can a girl not
propose
on an art like?
Of course.
Oh, they can, yeah. But it's just like a common thing on that day.
It's just.
It's a tradition.
It's tradition, yeah. It's just a kind of a gimmicky thing that, you'd wait until a leap year to do. Yeah. But she's not going to. If I propose to me fella today, it's not like someone's going to cuff me or whatever.
Yeah, no, sorry.
You can't do it.
I had to explain to Terrence what a leap year was there the other day, and his mind has blown ever since. That
there's
an extra day this month.
I've heard of a leap year, but it doesn't make any sense.
So it's a quarter day every year, yeah? You didn't like the sound of it now?
No, I'm not into it.
Well, you never noticed that those were 29th February.
I'm not into this.
Not into this.
At least your birthday's not on the 29th. Imagine those people.
This is where I had to explain to them as well.
So that's real, like, you're only
four.
Four. Is it? Or like yeah. 8 or 12 or...
No, you're not still in primary school chilling around. Oh, I want to get out of this place.
But you don't celebrate your birthday every year.
When would you celebrate your birthday? The 28th or the 1st? If you were born on the
28th. 28th, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
It's in the same month?
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it? What do you think? You're just not into this at all, aren't you?
No, I'm not into it, no.
If I put you... No, okay, you're just not into the...
No,
I thought you were talking about
me. No, get that podcast. It's just me and you, Emma. Don't mind him. He'll catch up in a minute.
I'm not into this. Can we wrap this one up and get rid of Emma, please? No, I'm not into leap years, Emma. That's it.
That's fine. Okay, yeah.
Right, so that was the zinger. Anyways, what are we doing? Stumbling?
I have to be stumbling.
I think stumbling, yeah.
Knocking a drink down, that's just real.
Every third drink.
I know it's impacting on the people around you as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stumbling, Mike.
Yeah, but imagine that at a wedding. Imagine someone's doing the big speech and they're getting to the nice bit and you're fucking knocking drinks again.
Why is this all around weddings? So like you stumble walking down the aisle or you knock the drink down at the speech.
And it's any type of drink, isn't it? It's like it's water, tea, everything. Yeah. That's just, it's messy.
Like one of us is bound to spill something here.
You did it before.
I do it in every third podcast. I spilled something on myself. I spilled something on myself in the Late Late Show.
Actually, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
At the end of it.
Really, really bad, yeah. It's them little, the tables are built into the chairs. So
the tables
sit
are
down,
shite, aren't they?
Yeah. You sit down, like, you rock the table then. And I'm like, right. And then we had to shift up a seat because there was a photographer coming in who won an award.
What was that all about? That was a bit, wasn't it?
I thought the same.
Didn't, but we were all sitting at home going, sorry, what's this we're trying to shoehorn in now? Who's your man? I was like, is he their photographer?
I didn't want to say it. And then a few people said it to me and I'm like, I'm glad you said it.
Oh, well, like fair play to him and all the rest. But what?
Yeah.
Timing seemed coincident.
Yeah, the timing really rubbed me up the wrong way.
Okay.
For what the picture was and the topic that we had just moved on from. And I was like, you could have kind of...
I know, we've got a picture of it now. Yeah, we've made art out of it. You were like...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when he came out, we were told, you just shift up a seat there and he'll sit nearest to Patrick and wherever. And I was like, grand, and I'd done that. And wherever way I moved the water, I spilled the whole thing all on the inside of me thigh. So it literally looked like I'm at the pissing myself.
No.
And I couldn't cross my legs a certain way to cover it without looking mad awkward. So I'm like, and I just kind of pushed my hands down into my toes.
I saw the two of you when he came out. The two of you started chatting to each other.
I was signaling at him.
So I was looking at the crowd and all, and then I catch him looking at me, and I'm like that, and he's looking at me, and he's like angry, and I'm like, "What's wrong with him?" And he's like trying to point at the wet patch on his leg.
The thing, you want to see the length of it?
I nearly said, "Like, oh, you stupid cunt!" I was still mic'd up,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Patrick said it after. Remember, we were getting the picture. He was like, "What's the story with you?" And all. I was like, "Sorry." He's like, "I will edit it out." And all he was saying, and I was like, "Fucking one job, like,
edit it out." Live TV. How was he doing that?
Well, he said it in the picture. Remember?
Like, oh, right.
But like,
okay,
this happened to me on the podcast. So I'd be sitting here, and Terrence would be talking to somebody about bleeding. I don't know.
Getting how emotional.
How they became a millionaire from rock bottom. And I was like, hang on for a minute, I just pour this glass of water all over myself. I'm a fucking disaster.
Because you're faffing about.
That's what it is.
There we go.
It is. That's,
why you don't like the word, because it's you. That's
when you see me like at home now, and I'm saying this everyone in the gaff, man, where's the dinner? You're just faffing about here. Right.
Yeah. Emma.
Yes.
With every guest that we have in, we like us to take it back to the start.
Yeah. Yes.
So where are you from and what was life like growing up?
So started off in Tala. Two older brothers, my dad. We had a little rabbit called Snowy who was a stray. So
stray rabbit.
Stray rabbit.
Yeah.
So, fuck off.
Swear to God.
Don't just skip past it like you didn't say it either.
No. Swear to God. So we had this rabbit, Snowy. He was white with pink eyes. Now, some people might be into that, but I loved that. And the story on the street was that someone had moved house and just left the rabbit. So the rabbit was just knocking about and we were like, can we have the rabbit? All our pets had always been like, we found the pets. You know what I mean? And we used to feed him toast and cornflakes and that kind of thing. And we didn't have a hutch because he'd eat out of it. So he'd just be roaming around. So he was kind of my mate because my brothers were close in age. There was like 18 months between them, 5-year gap then me. So we moved from there when I was 6 and I was devastated because we just had a good road. Do you know what I mean? Like I had my mate next door, Daniel. I was doing sailor works, swapping fancy paper, all that jazz. And we moved to Rathfarnham then. And I was in a school. I didn't move school yet. When I was in Tala, I was in a school in Terenure. This was a bus. They used to get a bus into Tala to bring us all to Terenure. But I stayed in that school for another year. Then I moved school to a school in Rathfarnham. I think my mum and dad said, oh, better area. They were like, oh, we tripled our mortgage when we went to Rathfarnham. So we weren't really doing much in Rathfarnham. Rathfarnham was grand. There was a few couple of snotty people or whatever. And yeah, that's the start. That's as early as I can go back now.
That's your earliest memories?
Yeah, probably like, well, yeah, me and that rabbit probably is.
Oh, was that rabbit that's going around the house like a Jack Russell?
No, not in the house, outside, but just not in a hutch, because the next door neighbour had a white rabbit as well, and that rabbit was in a hutch and gets all fat and pudgy, but we just let ours out and it'd be like...
Free range rabbit.
Yeah, 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 just living his life.
But where did he live then? Like when it's raining and all, where is he?
I think he just kind of went under a tree or something. He just, yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with this.
He lived, we brought him to Rathfarnham and everything, and he lived for a good few years, and then he had a stroke in the back garden. And did you ever come home and your mum has to tell you a pet's died?
Yeah, it happened to me with a parrot.
Did it? Yeah.
It's a long story, Emma. It's, yeah.
To have a parrot, but I loved a parrot now.
Yeah.
That's fancy.
Yeah, no, this was kind of more recent.
Oh, okay.
Like a few years ago. Wasn't that long ago.
Was it macaw?
Macaw?
Yeah, macaw, that's a type of parrot, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, no, this was an African Grey.
African Grey, okay, yeah, nice.
That was just bought at the door for like 40 quid.
At the door?
Yeah, someone just knocked on the door and was like, do you want an African Grey?
Fuck off.
Yeah, we weren't out buying African Greys or from the flats, Emma. Do you get me? Someone knocked on the door. Like, you know.
What, do they have the little African Grey on the finger? Yeah. Like, no.
I have an African Grey in the car. Do you want it?
In the car. In a cage in the car?
Where the cage? If you just want the cage will be an extra.
How could you say no to that?
Of course.
You can't phone down that road, but you
no!
Can't. Yeah. So the African Grey got bought for 40 quid. And he died a year later.
That's good, though.
Good. He was only a pup. Like, what would you call that?
The chick.
Chick.
The chick. He was only a chick.
Are you sure he was a chick? Like, he got bigger while you had him?
Mm, he got a bit bigger, like.
Do you want to tell her how he does?
Did he drown himself?
Drown himself?
That's what my friend did with her canary. The canary drowned because what happened? she was going away. So she said, how am I going to feed and give this canary water? So she filled up a pot in the kitchen with water. And she said, he'll crack on with that. But they've no depth perception. So he fell into the pot and drowned himself. We were all like that. He was fucking committing suicide. But anyway, sorry. How did your African Grey die? That's what happened.
Yeah. Some expert got onto me there the other week, actually. I forgot to say
that. You said it was something to do with the fumes in the kitchen.
Yeah. No, so if you shouldn't have your boards in the kitchen or something, or your parrot in the kitchen, because the fumes off the food kills it or something.
Oh, the fumes off what?
Food.
Don't know.
That's not fumes. Fumes is off a car.
Like, I don't know what it is. But some expert got on to me and said, yeah, this is why he died when he was in the kitchen, and he started explaining stuff.
Okay.
So, like, it is real. Because we were like, why did the parrot just die? Do you get me?
Out of the blue.
And then the vet said, oh, whatever happened.
Kind of said it was the best news he got that year.
And what did you do with the African Grey when it died?
In the bin, didn't it?
Oh, sorry, what was that cough? Did you fucking eat it or something? Coughing up a feather there.
I don't know. I don't know where the parrot went. I didn't ask too many questions.
He was just happy it was gone.
I hated the
food kicked into the wheelie bin by the looks of it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no, I don't know. Like, oh, no, they're meant to live a very long time, are they?
Parrots?
Yeah.
70 years or something.
Fuck off, no.
On the baby's life. Look that up.
Human life expectancy is about 72.
60 to 70 years for an African
Fuck
Grey.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
A domesticated yoke?
This lasted 12 months.
So, if he hadn't died, the African Grey, he would have gotten everything when you died, because he would have been still knocking about. So maybe it was for the best. Do you know what I mean?
Look, we're going to fact check,
yeah. She's going to fact check it for us now. African Greys can live from anywhere between 20 to 80 years.
Yeah. That's so 70.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. But maybe not in a cage.
Yeah.
Maybe cage.
That's in the wild.
20.
Even in the wild, that's...
Oh. Or maybe they'd have less chance in the wild, actually.
I don't know.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because they're against the elements. Or if they're in a cage, they're just easy life.
Do you reckon the budgie can swim in the wild?
You see, do budgies exist in the wild?
They'd have to. No?
I don't know. I've never seen one in the wild. I've never seen, like, you know, the wildlife documentary about the budgies.
Yeah, you've never
seen
one.
They're constantly doing it all about the parrots and the penguins and all the other ones.
What about hamsters and guinea pigs? Where do they come from?
Oh, I would have loved a hamster now.
Where do you get them?
Where do you get them?
Wild hamsters. Where do they come from? It's a good question, though, 30. Never seen a hamster in the world.
No.
I'd say Australia or something, no? That was a big buzz. Loads of people had pet hamsters all the time.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted one, but I had cats. So we're like, no, can't get the hamster.
Are you a cat person?
Love cats, but I have two dogs now at the moment. I have a mother and son.
Right. What dogs are they?
They're little terriers. So me and my fellow, when we got together, we both had only had cats as well, apart from the rabbit. But we'd had like cats was our main pet because the mom and dad didn't want a dog because I think if you haven't had a dog, they think, oh, it's too much effort. So he was dying to get a dog. So he got me pissed one night, basically, and we bought a dog on Dundeal and we met this couple out in the car park in the square. And they said that the dog was a cross between a Yorkie and a poodle. So it was a Shorkie. No, sorry, a Yorkie and a Shih Tzu. So it was a Shorkie, but it was just shit because it was a terrier. It was a terrier with a Jack Russell. Every dog that's crossed, it's with a fucking Jack Russell. Everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm. What's your dog, Terry?
Cross between a Jack Russell and a
Chihuahua.
It's always the fucking Jack Russell.
Yeah.
They have a lot, they're a lot onto their own. They live till they're about 70.
Yeah.
Jack Russells.
They can collect a pension and all. And all.
Yeah, yeah. You see them going around in the North Face jacket and all vaping. They're happy out. And so we got this dog and then she got pregnant by a Jack Russell. We had this Jack Russell calling into our gaff. I swear to God, because he knew she was in heat and you can't get them neutered once they're in heat. We dropped the ball.
After
that first.
No, you can't, but you have to, if they're in heat, right? We were like, oh fuck, she's in heat. You have to wait until that's finished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you can't go and get her neutered while she's in the middle of that.
No, we know.
So
that.
You have to go through all. I didn't know that. I'd never had a dog. Meant,
once the first heat comes, that's it.
We were like, oh, we must get her neutered, drop the ball. I see, I was pregnant at the time as well. So I was like busy doing whatever. The dog kept trying to call into the gaff, kept scratching at the door. And we'd be like, oh no, keep her in, because he could smell her. And then my daughter went out the door one day and she let the dog out. And we get a knock on the door and she goes, Mom, the dogs are stuck together. We go out and I swear to God, the whole road is out watching these dogs stuck together. The whole row, kids and everything. And people just come. And when two dogs are riding, people can't turn away from it. They're drawn to it like a magnet. Lovely. And then I didn't realise this part because I've never had a dog. Of course, I've seen dogs riding. Obviously, we've all seen dogs having a ride. But when dogs ride, when it's finished, it's done. They stay stuck together for ages afterwards.
Yeah, just to be sure.
Yeah. So she starts getting scarlet and she starts kind of trying to drag him under a car now and he's stuck to her still. It's really like a little walk of shame. So she had five pups and we kept one. Gave one to my mum and dad, put up a notice in the chipper, gave the other ones away. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to charge people for the dogs. I was just like, I just have to get them home. But yeah, so now I have a mother and son. Terriers bark at everything.
But your little bastards, Eddie.
They're nice dogs, but fucking everything. You get a text, fucking kicking off about everything. They're always kicking off about stuff you already know about. You know where the doorbell goes? They're like, the fucking doorbell's going. You're like, yeah, I know. So, yeah, but it's funny that my mum and dad, sorry, I'm totally off now. But my mum and dad never had a dog, obviously, as well. We gave them one of the dogs. And I kept saying, the dog would be perfect for my dad. He fucking needs a dog, like. And he said, no, too much work, whatever. Gave him the dog, obsessed with the dog. They're like fucking in love. But they took the dog to the vet. And what they have been doing to try and train the dog, like, it's a real insight into how you were parented, right? Took the dog to the vet and he was like, she's quite overweight. And he was like, what are you feeding? And they're like, dog food or whatever. And he's like, anything else? And then my mom goes, well, when we're training her, we feed her sausages. So every time they were trying to get her to sit, they were giving her a fucking sausage.
A whole sausage.
She still can't sit. She's totally untrained, this dog. So they just fed her and she knows no rules. And we're all going, we used to have kids, like how, we're like, whatever. So, but I do, you used to have dogs, yeah?
Yeah.
Regret it.
No.
You regret it?
I love my dog. We're all in my heart.
Okay, it's your dog. Yeah.
Aaron's dog is the most ill-disciplined dog you'll ever meet.
Bold dog.
And no, it's not. I think bold is the wrong word.
Ill-disciplined ideas.
Oh, well, my dog, like they can sit. That's about it now.
My dog can sit.
Yeah. After how many times have we been told to sit?
No, I won't sit if I don't have anything for that. Do you get me? But if I shower something, she'd... But it's like that. Like, if you tell me to go up and sit on the floor there, Emma, I'm not going to sit on the floor.
No.
You pull out 500 quid cash, I'll sit on the floor. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So it's similar to that.
I don't like, but I'm suspicious of people that have dogs that are real, like, well-trained. I'm like, what are you doing with the fucking dog? Why is that dog so...
What's my dog like?
No, your dog is like that, but I have a real... I'm with you on that. I have a real problem with that. Derek Power.
Terrence's cousin.
The dog can do anything. I went into the gaff the other day, I was making a cup of tea. It can do anything in the world. It does 360s around him, backwards, through his legs. And I just can't understand, one, where you get the time to do that with the dog. And two, what are you doing to the dog that's doing all that?
Exactly.
I have a real problem with Emma.
Yeah, there's these dogs that was picking up their own shit and you're kind of like, come on, just let the dog be a dog.
Yeah.
So now, or I don't like people who don't let their dogs up on a couch. All that shy. Don't like that.
Let the dog be a fucking dog.
The dog is a part of the family.
Yeah, so we're in that buzz, right? So I've never had a dog before. So we got him nearly 2 years ago and the missus was brought up with dogs. So she's the dog.
Person. Yeah.
So I was like, right, look, once he doesn't piss or shite in the gaff, everything else is a bonus. So straight away, he had one or two little mishaps in the gaff. And after like the second day, he was like going to the door to go out and go to the toilet. And I was like, right, I'm happy. This is fresh. But he sits, he can go down.
He speaks.
He can stay. He can speak. He can wait.
What's he saying to you?
He's just howling. He's a beagle. So they don't actually bark. He just howls.
But look, it's absolutely pointless. So when you're in Calvin's gap, he's like, what?
He gives you a hug. He gives you a hug. So if you bend down to him and he comes over and you say, give me a hug, he puts two paws on your shoulders.
But why did you learn him to speak? Like Calvin's like, watch this. Speak. And the dog howls. And he's like, howls. Like, now what? Like, what's the next step?
Well, it's good crack. And then, you know, when we're on the sofa, so we chill out on the sofa and he comes over then and he's looking at you and he puts his head on the sofa and he's looking at you. Then he put his paw on the sofa. And then, like, he'll start his way up. And I'm like, what are you doing? Get down. And then he'll sit there. But then she'll feel guilty and she'll be like, all right, come on, you can come up then. And then chill out on the sofa, wherever, for the night. Then when we're all going to bed, she's like, the fucking chair's ruined. Yeah, he's not allowed on the sofa anymore. And she's brushing all these chairs or hairs off the chair. And I'm like, you put him on the sofa, not me. So, I don't know. What do you want? You know what I mean? You either want a clean sofa or you want the dog on the sofa. It's one or the other.
I know. I do get annoyed when, like, me jacket or whatever has a load of dog hair. But I just don't like the idea of, I think they should be on the couch and, you know what I mean? But you seem like you have that dog well trained.
He's grand, but you know when he goes through phases, so like you go out.
Sometimes he won't stroke your Mickey and you're like, come on.
That's why he doesn't come back to us. Now, you let him off. And you let him off because he's a beagle. He goes off on a scent.
Yes.
Let him run amok. So we just do a lap at the park or whatever and just let him run amok. And then you call him back over, you put him on the lead, he's happy to go home. But then you just go on this little buzz of being like, you go off the lead and he'll fuck off for a while. And then he come back over to you and you go to put the lead on. He's like, no. And just runs. So we could be there off then for a while.
Well, I suppose he's a beagle though, isn't he? So he's all about like scent, isn't he? He's following with
the smells. Yeah, but like now he knows, they're very clever. He knows the drill. Like, do you know if we're going out? So if he sees us putting our runners and jackets on, we let him out to go to the toilet. When he comes back in, he goes straight off to his bowl because he knows we're leaving. So he knows there's going to be a treat in the bowl. Mm. And then when there's no treat in the bowl, he'll be looking like, what's the story? He was like, going, like, where's the treat?
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, yeah, we have one for you. You know what I mean? So they're very clever. But
do you get code words in your house for when you're going to take him for a walk?
Yeah, we have to say a W because he'd be like, you going on the W or will I bring for the W? Because you say walk, that's game over then. Do you know what I mean? Paws and moaning everywhere and you're like, right. And the worst thing is, if you're not dressed, so like, you could be in bed in the morning, you'd be like, do you want to bring him out for the walk? And like, yeah, bring him out now. Now and you have about 15 more minutes to get ready.
I know.
And the dog's on a mad one for 15 minutes screaming. And I'm like, mate, I'm putting my fucking bottoms on. Will you relax?
It's so annoying. Sometimes I go upstairs to put my jacket on because I don't want them to hear me closing the zip. Do you know, I'm going upstairs. Like what? Fucking dog.
Yeah, they rule the roost.
Oh, tell me. Yeah.
You're not happy about me and my dog, aren't you?
So he's in Terrence's gaff and his dog just runs amok. Like you sit down on the sofa, the dog is up in your face and she puts her nose up your nose because she's only tiny.
Cute.
So her whole nose goes up your nose and she's licking the mouth off you. And you're like,
and you doing anything to help? You're just sitting there.
No. I'm like, Arden's is great. And
if
I'm like,
she's happy, she's happy, Emma. That's why you're
get your dog down. Like.
Well, now I have a problem with this. Because, do you know when you go to that person's house and the dog is up in your crotch?
Mm. On a mad one.
And you're trying to get the dog. The dog's basically trying to give you a fucking lick out of a shoes for one. And you're like, could you get your dog out of my hole? Like, oh, she's lovely, isn't she? And you're just like, and you can't say, can you get your dog out of my hole?
That's him.
What's that all about?
The thing with my dog is she actually is the cutest dog.
And she eats the face off it, right? So you come in, she'll eat the face off you. I'll come in behind you and she won't eat the face off me. And then I'm like, Terrence, start with your dog. He'll lick his nostril, then come over and try and lick your face. And I'm like, Terrence, can we sort this out? So the other day, he put the dog in the crate, right? Put the dog in the crate, went over, closed it on, and sat down. So you know when dogs get comfortable, they do that circling shit around the basket?
Yeah.
The dog done one circle around the basket and Terrence stood back up and goes, oh, she has to get out, and let her out then. I was like, that's what's wrong with the dog. The dog has never been disciplined in her life. She doesn't know what it's like to be in trouble.
Okay. So your crate's just for putting shit on, really, is it?
Yeah. Essentially, it's another table.
But you know what? It's had to be really make me think, like, because I can't wait to have kids and all. Yeah. But then I'm thinking, I don't think I'll be able to, I can't chastise the dog. See, when anybody gives out to me dog and all, they'd be fuming sitting there. But don't talk to me dog like that.
You'd be able to give out to kids.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
You get to a point where they're just annoying.
Shut
your fucking mouth or I'll pants on you.
Sometimes, it's a terrible thing to say, but sometimes if they've done something, you're just in one of those moods, you're only delighted to give out to them. Do you know that kind of way? Little right in faces. Terrible.
The dog has me.
Dark.
Delighted
to give out.
No, but if I catch them, do you know what I mean? Catch them doing something or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. What are you doing? And they're dropping everything.
Yeah, that one. I like that. But no, they're very good children, I have to say. No, they're not. They're not. You'll be grand. You'll love it.
Yeah.
You don't have to discipline a baby anyway. It's fine. Well, you're going to do actually. You have to train them to sleep and all.
Train them to sleep.
Yeah, some people do that.
Babies don't just sleep, no?
No, they have a bedtime.
Well, like if you...
Do they?
When you have a baby, the baby's going to be in your bed. That's what's going to happen to you because people have to train the baby. It's easy to get a baby to fall asleep in you, but then to put a baby down in a cot or something to sleep by themselves, you have to do a bit of training with that, don't you? So if you have a baby, the baby will be in the bed all the time because you'll be like, oh, he's crying, get him in.
So you have to get the baby to sleep on your time. You don't sleep on the baby's time. Otherwise, like the baby just like, I'll cry, you're going to come. Or I'm going to sleep now, you go to sleep. I'm awake, you're awake. You need to break all that.
Yeah, he's I don't think I have the heart for that.
No, he's not into it. I mean, we're going up on a mad one. We're faffing around here.
I know. Yeah.
So you moved to Rathfarnham. You brought your rabbit with you.
Yeah.
That was it. What were you like in school?
What was it like in school? I'd say primary school, I was all right. Like, so because I moved to a new school, I think when you move to a new school, you kind of cop that you need to make an effort. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're the new person in the class and you don't make an effort, you're just going to get left behind because they all know each other since they're five or whatever. So it's probably a little bit jazzy hands. Do you know what I mean? Trying to impress people or whatever. Not too much. Quite like school, like sport, all that. Went to secondary school, was a bit more of a messer, maybe. Then maybe it started like, you know, smoking, drinking, that kind of thing. But I always, in terms of school, I always would have like just done enough, you know, little bit of going, like nothing crazy, a little bit of going on the hop, got caught, man went mad, that kind of thing. So nothing crazy, like I never got expelled or anything like that.
Mm.
Not too bad. I couldn't spell or it, but there was nothing in school that I found like, oh, that's really, really hard. You know, I was one of those people, I just do enough to get by, whatever. Now, I wouldn't have been too interested in school, mind. And then leaving, oh yeah, that's what happened to me. When I, before I did my leaving in the fifth year, I was doing like a few bits where I went off to an adventure center for a week for like work experience and was just going to like go on the piss and meet fellas and whatever. And I kept upping the ante all the time. So then eventually by the time I got to the end of fifth year, me and me mate, her family had a mobile home in Corktown and we moved into that and got jobs down in Corktown. So we had been going down for weekends and everything, getting hammered, having a great time. And I just had to keep taking a fucking one step further. And I was like, why don't we move down for the summer and work there? Because I think I just wanted freedom. That's all I ever wanted, freedom. And my parents were quite strict to me. I think only girl, older brothers. And they did say to me when I was older that I was the most annoying in terms of if they said you can't do something, I wouldn't take no for an answer. I'd come out with all these reasons why I should be allowed to do something. like argue the point, to like just keep fucking beating them down. They'd, I've only opened their eyes in the morning and I'd be doing my PowerPoint presentation of why I should be able to fucking do something. Do you know what I mean? They're just like, oh, for fuck's sake. So we moved down, me and my mate, to Wexford. We got jobs. I worked in a chipper. She worked in Pirates Cove. And I was down there for about 4 days and I got preggo. So yeah, that was me freedom. I had 4 days.
Wasting no
time. A great 4 days. So I went back to school then preggo and kind of tried to keep that under wraps for a little while. And yeah, did me leaving and then had my daughter about 13 days later. Then went to college in the September.
So you're doing the exams pregnant?
No, I had her. So she's on the 22nd of May. So yeah. I had her and then it was like
to start
13 days later. Yeah, yeah, go back and do the leaving.
And what's
that? So mental. So like now going to school, obviously loads of people have been in their last year in school and pregnant, whatever. It's a mixed bag there because some of the teachers are quite snotty about it. And then some people are so nice and so supportive. And they're like, if you need extra notes or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Even like a teacher said to me, if you need help with childcare or whatever, like really nice. And then I think what happened was like, I went to hospital. I went to Hollis Street, like so naive. I brought like books with me. I thought I was going to study. Well, fucking in labor. I don't know what I thought was going on. But I really wanted to, like, I probably felt like I disappointed people. I definitely felt like I've fucked this up now. I've fucked this up. And it's not something that I wanted to be happening or anything like that. So I really tried to study. I was like, my plan was, I was like, I'm going to do the leaving and I'm going to go to college. I was like, that's what's going to happen. You think that was
like a kind of redemption thing? Like, not the end of the world, I'll show you.
Yeah. Yeah, because I had in my head that everyone thought, oh, she's fucked now. That's the end of her. Do you know what I mean? So I just had it in my head that I had to prove everyone wrong, even though there wasn't anyone in particular saying to me, oh, you'll have to leave school now or whatever. You know, that's the end of you. I just had it in my head that that's what people thought, that I'd messed everything up for myself. So I tried. Yeah, I just tried to study. I'd say for the first term, I was probably just a bit like not fully with it. You know, I was walking around like a zombie kind of thing because I was keeping this massive secret. And I always would think like the worst thing you can do is keep a secret, because when you have a secret, no matter what it is, it just grows and grows and grows in your own head. You make it so much bigger when you keep a secret to yourself. But it got better then when I told my mum and dad and all that stuff and started to try and accept it. But I'd say the last term of school, I probably tried and studied a lot, but then I was actually getting quite tired. So when I went to do the leaving, so I had my daughter, everything was great. And by that time, I was actually like really looking forward to having her. And do you know what I mean? I'd come full circle.
Like, yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I'd always wanted kids, just maybe like not when I was fucking still in school, but like I always wanted kids. So I think once I kind of got over the thing of like being pregnant and I started thinking about that, it was like a baby. And then I found out I was having a girl and I was going to get to meet her. Do you know what I mean? Like once I kind of started to accept that part. Now I'd still have days where I'd be like crying and stuff. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think, you know, it took, but do you know, in fairness, I think most people when they're pregnant, even if it's planned, you do spend a bit of time freaking out. Like, because once you get pregnant, you go, oh fuck, my life's going to change now forever. You're kind of, there is a bit of a thing of, oh fuck, what have I done? Like you're really excited and everything, but you're still, did you
nervous,
find that?
Yeah.
You're still like, what the fuck?
Like when it happened to me, it fucking, yeah, like, I think it's the making of it.
Yeah.
It really is.
Totally, like, but it's a total.
I was 20 when I found out I was in my tour during college, going into my tour during college.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, right, that's it now. I'm dropping out of this. I'm not, that college thing was good for them 2 years. I'm out here now. I'll just,
no more mess.
I'll stack shelves somewhere just to get a wage coming in.
Yeah.
And then again, it was that kind of buzz. I remember like people being like, oh yeah, that's you then. That's you offside now. Gone.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, yeah, that's probably right. You know what I mean? And it was actually my man who said it to me. She was like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'll just drop out and get a part-time job, leave work in Spar or something. You know what I mean? She was like, or you could just stick out your college and get the job that you were going to go for. I was like, you know what? Yeah, that you're actually right. I'm actually simplifying that. It was a lot more emotional than that, but believe
me. Of course.
Yeah, no, that's what it was though. So like, the way I look at it, you do need
people in your corner because you might be in a place where you can think clearly.
I was a kid, Emma. I was
20 is so young.
I was a fucking
baby.
Like, I still probably am, but like, genuinely was a fucking easy. I could barely look after myself.
And I think as well, actually, that's interesting because a lot of the message I feel that men get around it is it's to do with money. Mm. Are you giving her money? Are you giving her money? Like, I remember mates of mine, fellas, be saying that, is he giving you money? Is he giving... I'm like, that's... Okay, like that. That's one thing, but that's, you know what I mean? When you're a fucking kid, having a child with somebody, this always about like money, 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 money is not... Do you know, like, I was living at home with my mom and dad. Like, for someone to be, well, I'm not saying that money isn't important, it is, obviously, but for someone to be involved and be supportive and all that is much more, I feel anyway, top of priority. And if someone's finishing their education, like, that's a good thing, isn't it? Like, you finishing college.
Yeah, well,
in the long term, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but like, in the short term, I was just panic stations. I was like, right, well, the bills need to be paid now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, as you said, you do need a support, and money can't buy everything, and being there obviously has more value. Do you know what I mean? So like,
totally.
I know people in that boat, like, you know, like a lot of girls be like, oh yeah, doesn't take the child, pays maintenance, doesn't take the child. And I do say to myself, like, she wants you there, mate. You know what I mean? Come in and fucking...
Of course.
Doesn't matter if he's had to get out or not. Come in and fucking give a dig out, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, or she wants your child to know who the dad is, because you don't want the dad to be like this mystery character. Because so I wasn't with my daughter's dad. Like, I mean, I was down in Wexford. He lives down in Wexford, and he was going off to college, and it took a long time, I'm not going to lie about that. But I always had this thing in my head, and kind of a selfish thing of, I wanted to try and make sure that she knew who her dad was, because I felt if she didn't know who he was, he could be like an imaginary character who was like, you know,
yeah,
this prince, this perfect person that I was preventing her from seeing. Whereas I was like, no, she needs to just get to know him as a real person, and she can decide then for herself. But then as well, I didn't want her thinking, blaming me, or, you know what I mean?
So the
I was
resentment, like, no, thing, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, I have to like try and make that happen or whatever.
It's murky waters, you know what I mean? It's fucking...
Yeah. Oh, it's so hard.
It's each to their own as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just, we can sit and talk about this till the cows come on, but till you're in it, it's kind of...
Yeah. And that's it. Each person's own situation
is unique.
But, yeah, I had a great mum and dad and all that, and
I still can't believe like you had a baby and then done the leaving cert like 2 weeks later.
I was spooked though. I was spooked because they do this thing where if you've just had a baby or if you've had like surgery or, you know, something like that, you can get your own private room. And I think my dad spoke to them. They were like, oh yeah, you'll have your own room, so don't worry about anything. And I was like, okay, cool. But because I had my own room, when I went in to do the leaving, I wasn't there with my mates. You know the way like you'd be doing like exams or whatever, and you'd be looking at your mate going, I'm fucked or whatever, and having a little giggle. I had no one there.
They shared it with like...
Yeah, I had like someone, an examiner or, you know, supervisor or whatever. But I remember when I opened the first one, I looked at the page and I was like, I was freaked because I could see words, but I couldn't put them together as sentences. Because it's been so long since I'd actually done anything. The only thing I've been reading was like, how big is a baby grow? So I hadn't been reading, I hadn't been doing like a home doing like practice or anything. So I started reading, I was like, oh, I'm fucked. I think I went to the toilet or something, I came back and I was like, right. Because you know the way the English one is real, like you're meant to be just like lashing down stuff at speed. And I was just like, so yeah, it was a bit weird. But I think once I finished my leaving cert, then I was like, I can breathe now, like a bit. I think it was just the thing mentally, you still had to wear your uniform. And I was like, that's something that kids do. Kids wear a school uniform.
You're an adult now. Like.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's a hard thing to kind of figure out in your own head. Yeah, it is a weird one.
I suppose the good thing there is, I'm not like, obviously it's a bad situation to be in with the leaves here coming up, but just as well, you hadn't got to go through a whole nother term of skill with the child.
Oh, well, that was it. And that's why I was so adumbant about I have to get the leaves here done, because I didn't want to have to repeat. And having like a baby, and I was just like, I had my mates in school and all that, but I think for most people, by the time you get to sixth year, you're just like,
I'm over this.
I'm over, like, I'm over this now. I'm finished. I can't be looking at this Mogan Elock or whatever it is. Like, no, just, I think when I finished, I just, every time I finished an exam, I just put my books in the bin, burnt the uniform, fucking, good luck.
No, did you say you went to college then that September?
Yeah, I went to college that September.
What did you go to study?
I went and did business and arts management.
All about managing art.
Yeah, yeah. In IADT, the course doesn't even fucking exist anymore. My theory was, my first choice was English Media and Cultural Studies. That was my first choice, but I didn't get enough points and I was devastated. But so I got business, but I was like, oh, you know, business. You know the way, back in the day, everyone was like, yeah, do business, business, business is always good. So I did that for 4 years, the L degree. I mean, was it worthwhile? Yeah, it was. But it was kind of nice going to college then, because then I felt like a little alien, like nobody knew. Like, you know, I had a kid, nobody knows. You know what I mean? Sometimes if you thought a fella was trying to chat you up, you'd say it straight away just to see the reaction. If you weren't interested in him, you'd be like, yeah, I have a 3-month-old or whatever. Like, you know, and then sometimes if you did like them, you'd be like, I'm going to buy me time now and just wait and see when's a good time to drop this in or whatever. But yeah, so I did, but only from like my mom and dad, because there's no other way you could do it. Like,
yeah.
How could you afford to have a child and go to college?
Mm.
You couldn't, like.
And what, sorry, so you done business and arts management?
Yeah.
Did you go into the big bad world after that then?
Yeah, I did, pretty much straight away. So my last year I had a job, I was working in a pub, and then I kept that going for a while, and then I just got a job locally, because I was trying to look for jobs locally, because like, you know, if anything's going on at home, I can fly home or I can go and collect Ella and I'm close. And not, you know, you're always like looking for places close and handy when you have kids. So I was just in this phone company down the road from me. And then I got word that there was some sort of thing. There was a job in a community radio station, and I qualified for it because I was a lone parent. I was still on like lone parents allowance. So I went for that because I was like, oh, brilliant. And that was me trying to like do something creative, media, something, you know. And I did that. And then I was always trying to get, I used to do like bits of production assistant. And the only problem with those jobs is, especially when you're like a runner or whatever, the hours are so crap. So like say my mom be minding Ella and she'd be like, when will you be back? And I'd be like, I don't know. You know, and I just felt so bad about like how can you, you know, you'd be heading out like real early in the morning, and then you'd be like, yeah, I don't know when I'm going to be back. And I was like, I can't, that's not a viable job or career or whatever with a kid. So I just flitted between not crappy but I didn't want to be there, admin jobs, and then something more creative. And like, you know, I wanted like a creative job, performing or something, but I wanted to work from 10 to 4.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to have to be doing nights or weekends or any of that, because I was like, I don't have childcare. So yeah, that's what I did.
So how would you go into comedy then? Like,
I went into comedy, I was 29, so 10 years ago. And actually from that radio course, the community radio station, you could sign up for a course and they would give you a little bit of the money. I think you went half and half, and I did a television presenting course or something like that, and you could do a showreel at the end of it. So I made a showreel and I sent it out to loads of people. I found names on LinkedIn. I looked at credits, all this like fucking magic, and I sent off a showreel, and then one fella got back in touch and he was like, you should do sketches. And I was like, oh, hey. I did sketches and I sent them to him. He got me to audition for a show, but I was prego again and did the classic thing of trying to hide I was pregnant. And then it was like, I don't know if you remember, they still have them, but you know the way RT are mad for fucking prank shows. They fucking love their prank shows. It was a fucking, I think it was a prank show or some shit, but I got up. But then when they were filming it, I was due to have my son, so he blanked me then, the prick. He never got back to me, but then he had said to me, you should try stand up. So I was like, after auditioning for that and getting it, I was like, oh, maybe there's something there. So then when I was on maternity leave, I signed up for an open mic and I went and did stand-up. So like, I just had a baby and I said to my fella, I was like, I think I'm going to do stand-up. And he was just like, grand, what? Like, so I was having a breakdown or something. But he just let me out. He just go, okay, whatever. So we went to a gig together to suss it out. There's this place, you know, the Halfpenny Bridge Inn. They used to do like an open mic night, and it used to be called Battle of the Axe. So I signed up for that, and I went along the week before, and I thought it was going to be like, what's the movie with Eminem? Eight Mile. I thought it'd be like that. I thought like people be throwing stuff and everyone losing their minds. I went in, it was just people just sitting there. Like the audiences for the most part at those open mic nights are very, like respectful. You know, if it's someone's first time, they're not really. And then I did it the next week and then I just became totally obsessed.
Where does it come from? Like, I can't wrap my head around how you just go, yeah, I'm just going to go in and just do an open mic.
It's going to change careers here.
No, well, you see, I didn't really know too much about stand-up, but I always wanted to do acting or performing and something funny, if you know what I mean. But I just didn't know. And then when someone suggested stand-up to me, because I knew what acting, people I knew who acted had gone to like Gaiety School of Acting.
Yeah.
Now, I never would have done that because, first of all, notions like what, who says that I'm going to go and do acting for 4 years? But then as well, like I would never would have done it. You see, now I say, oh, because I was a mom and all that. But to me, to say it when you're young that I'm going to go into acting, the level of confidence that would have taken me at that stage of my life, I wouldn't have been saying I wanted to act. And I think when I was growing up, the thing about acting was, yeah, you could do your bit of acting, but what's the proper thing that you're going to do? What's your real job? What's your backup plan or whatever? So it was always in my head. I just didn't know how to go about it. And then the great thing about stand-up is anyone can actually do it. You just sign up for an open mic and just go and do it. Whereas I think with other things, there's more barriers. Like if somebody wants to act, how do you go and act? And people have agents and they have connections and they go to acting school and all that. Whereas stand-up, like anybody can do stand-up.
Were you nervous going into your first?
Totally nervous, yeah. You write your first set.
How do you even start? Sorry for coming across. But I'm thinking, like, if you said to me, 7 o'clock tonight, you have to go on the stage, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Of course you would. But if you're doing this, of course you would.
Oh, what do you think of playing? Oh, yeah.
You would tell stories you've told on this that people have enjoyed. I think you'd be fine. You'd be like, you'd love it.
I wouldn't do it. I think I say it all the time. It has to be the hardest thing in the world. I was
nervous though. I was mad nervous. That's what I'm saying. But I don't need coffee. I'm shit myself all the fucking time.
Mm. But I think people like, you see successful comedians and you kind of go, oh, that must be good. But you need to remember how many people don't do great in it.
Well.
And went for it. And struggled. Look, I can't imagine. And every great comedian has died a death on the stage.
Of course.
Dying a death on the stage. I couldn't. I wouldn't show my face ever again. But you have to do it.
But you have to go through that. Sometimes you get to a stage where if you're dying on stage and then you look down the back and there's comedians that you know, you're kind of like enjoying it. Because sometimes as well, you're dying, right? But you could have done that at another gig that night. And it went down amazing. And then you come to this place and you're like, oh, these are not fucking on board at all. And it's kind of funny because you're like, I'm after doing this half an hour ago. Mm. And they were all loving it. So there is like a part of your brain saying, you're fucking thick. But you know what I mean? Like if you stormed at one gig and then you go to the next and they're all like, no. There's so many elements involved in stand-up. But definitely like the first gig, I turned up probably 2 hours early, said to the barman, I'm here to do stand-up comedy. He's like, good for you. Like, fuck off.
So what?
I was like, I'm arrived. It's time. Well, I wrote, basically what I did was I wrote out a set as best as I could and timed it and then did it on stage. But I was still getting nervous, but you'd always have a little bit of nerves. Or sometimes you probably, like you've done like live shows, you come back and you'd be exhausted.
Yeah.
Like exhausted. Or maybe not until the next day. Suddenly you're just like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. But I wouldn't be aware of it at the time. That like your body is like charged up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you can feel it's in your body all day, but you're going about your business or whatever. It would depend on the gig now that I would get nervous. Sometimes I get nervous at the most random times when there's nothing at stake, but something, just get a look at someone, you go, oh, so don't know about this one or whatever. But now, like, obviously I'm out of 10 years, the nerves don't affect me in the same way. And you would, if you were dying on your hall, you would have stuff that you would have in your back pocket that you'd say, right, they're not liking this. But you always have to, like, you will always have to keep doing new stuff. So you still always will have the fear of, I'm going to die in my hall. But you can, you know what I mean? You can do a U-turn and come out of it. But it's totally to do with the audience. Like, it's what energy they give you.
Yeah.
The best gigs are always when you feel like the audience loved it. And the ones that I don't like as much is when I think, oh, they weren't into it.
Have you any bad stories of dying on your arse?
Loads. I have so many dying on my arse. I think the worst ones are probably early days when you die on your arse, where it's, like it's humiliating. I remember somebody asked me to do like, say, 15 minutes and it probably wasn't ready. I went out and it was in Kildare or something, and I was telling these jokes about having a baby or something or whatever. Silence. I mean, like nothing. And then some woman in the audience went, "Ah," like that. And it was just...
Oh, you know it's bad then. Yeah. You'd rather someone call you.
Yeah. Like, and so you could like, at least if someone shouted up at you, you could start having a bit of interaction with them and have a bit of crack. But that's when I knew it was absolutely fucking God. There was no, because people were starting to feel sorry for me. And when people come up to you and say, "You're very brave."
Yeah.
That's when you know you've had the shittest gig of your life. You're very brave. If someone says to you after gig, "You're very brave," have done shite. Shite.
But even the sound, even the little
and everyone heard it.
Yeah.
So that's more. I leave her. Like I'm on fucking God day release. God love her. Yeah. Like I'm a God lover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So when did you know? Like, oh, this is a full time thing.
Oh, so it takes a while. Now I didn't give my job up until like lock time.
Yeah.
Lock time. But I was trying to buy a house, you see. So that was actually the main thing. Now, I told myself that. I said, once I buy the house, I'll quit the job. Because obviously I had to keep the job for the bank. You know the way the bank don't be liking when you're self-employed.
Mm.
They don't like that, right? And so I was like, I'll keep the job, get them fucking keys, and then I'll quit the job straight away. Do you know what I mean? I was like, that was my plan. I was going to pull one over on them, right? And do you know what I always say? When I was going to get my mortgage, I was like, do you remember Nadine Coyle? I'm trying to remember her.
Trying to remember the date of birth?
Yeah. Mommy, where's my passport? Where's my birthday? That's what I meant to lie as I'm telling these banks. Oh, which one's... Okay. Haha, jokes. Anyway. Got the keys.
Cut that.
Cut that. Got the keys. And then I was like, then my fellow started saying to me, well, there you go now. You can quit your job.
And you were like, I was only messing.
I was only messing. Shut up, you. No, but then I was like, oh, shit, that's what I said, didn't I? And I kind of was like, oh, no, because having the security of the day job, I was like, oh, and at that time, we were still working from home. So, do you know what I mean? Telly on, laptop on the lap, you know, it wasn't, this is handy out, handy. And then I was like, actually, do you know what it was? I went on the 6 o'clock show. And the CEO, not the CEO, but the head hunch had a big, why is she on the 6 o'clock show?
Really?
Yeah. And I said, you know what, fuck this. It's not working. Do you know what I mean? I can't have people ask me questions. And you know what I mean? Like, I was like, no. So I just quit then. I was like, ooh. But Deirdre O'Kane had got me on. She was doing the stand-up show on Sky. So Sky, English telly money, yeah? And I was like, that'll keep me for a few months. Because you know, with the Irish telly, they like, if you got the taxi now, you got the taxi for the late late, didn't you?
No, we drove over.
Fuck off. Yeah. They're not giving you the taxi. No, they offered you the taxi.
They offered, yeah. But they offered it. I'd rather cruise in.
Yeah, but did people think when you did the late late, did people think you got paid?
Yeah. I'm still getting asked today. Someone rang me the other day. How much did you get paid for that?
People think I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, you get paid for going on the late late. You're like, no.
That's what people were saying.
It cost you money. We had to pay for the petrol to get there.
Yeah.
And you had to get the rig outs and everything. You had to get the outfits. Mm.
No, we actually did go and buy it on. We didn't even...
Yeah. It cost us money to go on the late late show.
Money.
Actually.
You're angry about it now.
Yeah. Invoice somewhere. Yeah. Someone's getting it.
That wasn't worth the nerves or the expenses. I spilled water on myself on national telly and all over them.
So yeah, when I got an old stint on an English telly.
Yeah, if you want Irish telly, you'd be like, will you come on and we'll pay you on tick? And you'll be like, sound. You'll do a series and you'll do two series. You're only getting paid for the first one.
Yeah, and then they'll only stick on the player after all that fucking hassle as well. Like, the thing doesn't work. What the fuck?
Thing is running on a diesel generator.
Waste of time. But look, this is the problem. If I'm asked tomorrow, do I want to do a series at RT player? Absolutely love to. Because you're afraid to say no to anything. Do you know what I mean? But sure, look.
So you've done the series on Sky.
Yes, and because of that, I knew I had a few quid from that, and I say like, that'll give me a bit of a cushion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I said, go on, I'll quit the job. And then quit the job, and I was like, God, I should have done this a lot sooner. See, like, I was gigging all the time when I was working, but when you're have the full-time job and you're trying to gig, you obviously can't give it as much as you want to. Because like at one stage, I was doing support for Enya Martin. And I remember doing gigs with her and I'd literally leave work, walk out the door and her manager would collect me in the car and bring me to the gig with her and the manager. And I, in my bag, I'd have my breakfast, lunch and dinner. I had an electric scooter. I put the electric scooter
in. It's a pallet coming out.
That and his boot, right? And then we go off to Galway. I get home at like whatever, 2:30 in the morning. And any of you there filming me on our phone. Ah, look at her falling asleep. I was like, fuck off, you bitch. I'm a full-time job. I have kids. Yeah. She's there eating a bag of chips. Ah, look at her falling asleep. I was like, I'm fucking wrecked. But then I get up and go into work the next day. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like...
Keeps you humble, though.
Keeps you humble, yeah. But it's not... No, I did it for 10 years. Do you know what I mean? But then once I quit the job, I was like, oh, I should have done this a long time ago. But it's scary not having a salary and work, like the ideas of working for yourself, being like self-employed and all that, scary. But I'm so glad now that I did it. And I could say I wish I did it sooner, but I think you can't look at things like that. It happens when it's meant to happen, doesn't it? And it's all part, like if I had quit my job sooner and I hadn't have done like, you know, 8 years of already doing all the pubs and clubs all over the country, I wouldn't have been ready for it. You know what I mean? Like I've been gigging nonstop all that time. So I think it was, you know, it was good. I wasn't quitting my job after doing 5 Instagram videos and going, yeah, grand. You know what I mean? I waited until I thought, okay, I can make some sort of a living out of this.
Yeah.
You mentioned Deirdre O'Kane earlier.
Yeah.
You're still walking with her.
Yeah. Yeah. She is mental. She is totally mental. She's mad. But she said to me, like, she's at an age now. She's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, that's good energy. Do you know what I mean? She just wants to have crack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Obviously, you work and get paid and all that, but whatever you're doing, you have to be enjoying it. Like, it has to be fun at the end of the day, because what is it all for? Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you can only make so much money in this country doing this kind of stuff. Can't you?
No.
You think sky's the limit?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do, yeah. Like, I really believe that.
What sky, though? An Irish sky or... Do you know what I mean?
When you make the
I think
trip across
the
water.
Is starting to change as well.
Yeah.
We're growing into this. Like, kind of,
I think that was a cap.
Yeah.
Yes.
For a long time.
Well, now I suppose because people are just doing it themselves.
I think we're starting to blossom now.
Yeah.
And people are being like, actually, no, keep pushing that boundary.
But like that though, can't you only do it because you enjoy it?
Oh, of course.
Obviously, you've got to have days and you're like, looks like, but you're enjoying it.
Mm. I think too many people want to do something not for the enjoyment part, but for what they think comes with it, like financial gain or fame or anything like that.
Yeah.
When really the people who are just enjoying it, maybe be natural. Able to break that barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was asking me the other day, how did you make the transition from video into stand-up? So I've been doing stand-up for fucking 10 years. I was like, the video thing was just a little, well, actually, it was because I was doing stuff with Jen Hatton or whatever, and she was like, we can do this or whatever. But like, I'm going to do some sketches with her on Wednesday, but it's because I enjoy doing them with her. So we did videos together back in the day on Facebook. Because maybe we were chasing something, but now you're just like, you enjoy it.
You're on it for the crack.
Yeah, totally.
What was the show you were doing in Singapore?
Oh, it's this travel show called High Road, Low Road. So it's on RT1. So that's a different audience. If you do anything on RT1, you have like these elderly aunts that you haven't spoken to in years contacting you, congratulating you. Do you know what I mean? They don't watch RT2.
Yeah.
But so it's a travel show where two personalities go away and one gets the high road luxury and the other one is travelling on a budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Does it alternate?
No.
No.
If you get the high road. So you genuinely do only find out in the airport. You open an envelope and you find out whether you got high road, low road. So I got high road.
Lovely.
Good old Bella.
I had a hunch that I would because Deirdre, now I'm from a nice area, but Deirdre's from Dunleary. Deirdre's in Dunleary. Do you know what I mean? She wears sunglasses outside in the winter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's showbiz. She's met Bono.
Some of the people that wear like big puffy jackets when it's freezing out and sunglasses on, they look deadly.
Yes.
Whereas if you do, you're like, take them glasses off.
Yeah, yeah. They look like they're January. Like from a ski resort or something. Do you know? They just, some people it looks right on, other people you're just like, oh, say, she pulls it off. So she got the cheaper one. So I got this massive like presidential suite,
luxury food, all the stuff. And one of the things I got to do was a skydiving experience. I thought it'd be deadly. Do you ever see this where they go into the little room and you're shh? It's actually disgusting because the amount of pressure on your body is just insane. Now, a little young fella comes in with you and he goes in and he's flipping all over. You go in, right? And you just go like this and float around. You're like, oh, it's actually okay. And then this little show off goes in and he flips around and he comes out backwards and on. You're like, fuck off. But he's in with you and he gives you instructions. And he goes, he'll tell you commands. So he's like, if I do this, that means open your legs, right? And he's like, if I do this, that means bend your legs. I'm like, that fucking doesn't mean bend your
legs.
Yeah,
not where we're from. Yeah.
Not in Tala, pal.
I got totally distracted then from him keep fucking going like this to me. And then he told me what the command was for if you want to get out. And I missed that then. So I didn't know how to tell him I need
he's
to.
He's like,
do.
She's having a fucking great time in there.
You can't hear the thing, obviously. Like, but yes, we just went around Singapore doing all sorts of mad shit.
Yeah. And then you were talking about the good money.
Yeah, yeah.
On the Prime show.
Prime show. Now.
That had to be the good money.
Well, do you know what?
I'm not short a few quid.
I heard Dave McSavage talking about this. First thing I thought when I walked in, I was like, well, I'm not getting the same amount of money as Aisling B. There's not a hope. So there was tiers of money.
Yeah.
So if you look at the lineup, you can guess which tier I was in. But having said that, I genuinely was like, that was not something I said how much. I don't think I even asked how much. I think I was just, no, I knew I was going to get paid, but I was just delighted to be in that lineup and included in it.
Mm.
Do you know, because then you get told Graham Norton is the presenter. So you're kind of doing it, you're doing it for
There's
free.
There's definitely noise on that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's a,
do you know,
it's a
you're going
to
do
networking
it.
Thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't really give a bollocks.
I wanted
more
to
that.
Yeah. I wanted to just do that show. The things that I would ask how much is like, we want you to go to the middle of nowhere on a bank holiday weekend. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Then I'm like, how much?
Mm. Yeah.
But something like that, you're not, for me anyway, I'm not like too concerned about how much I'm getting paid.
It's an opportunity.
That. Totally, yeah. Mm. To get hanging out with Graham Norton, Aisling B.
See that, be? He doesn't stop coming up lately. Why do I keep hurting about this Graham Norton fella? See, look, a big deal, yeah?
Do you not a fan of him?
No, I don't. He has his own show. Yes, that's obviously a big show over there, is it? Why are you looking like that, boy? I've obviously never watched out. Come on now. Yeah, I'm hardly sitting in the gaff watching Graham Norton.
It's just the fact that, yeah. Like, where is he at the come? He's just jumping on the scene. Teddy Swims. Who's he lately? Graham Norton and Teddy Swims.
Now I feel like I haven't stopped hearing the cunt's name recently.
Well, maybe
it's probably because
not,
of the show.
Yeah, but maybe he's not appealing to your, maybe he's not appealing to your demographic. See, I feel like, not as a kid, but I grew up watching him. The Father Ted thing that he was on Father Ted. Now, I enjoyed that, but that's not why I liked him. He used to have, before the glossy chat show, he used to do a chat show on Channel 4 every night. And it was pure, like, not pure dirty, but you know what I mean? It was much more out there and much more kind of like the way live Channel 4 shows used to be back in the day. Like, you never knew what was going to happen. It was just a bit more madness. And I used to watch that. And then they used to have like, then I used to watch like Sex in the City or something in the evening. And you did that show every night. So it was, and then it was only later on now with this show that it's like on the BBC, it's like the Hollywood stars and it's kind of more polished or whatever. But
I thought your man who can't pronounce his R's, he was the
Jonathan
big deal.
Ross.
That him, was he not the big deal over there?
He is, yeah, but they'd be definitely on a par.
Yeah, but like Graham Norton, what got big in the 90s on the comedic scene, and now
yeah.
He's an Irish man who's gone over to the UK and he's there 20 plus years on a talk show.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you'd want to get books. On board. He's got wines, he's got gins,
he has
got books.
Yeah.
He's got the whole shebang.
But like,
no, I know who he is, but I just feel like
he's well established.
I didn't think he was as big as he is.
You're getting sick from it. Well, he has done a lot of shows recently because he's on Wheel of Fortune. He is lashing them out. I'm like, is Graham getting ready to retire?
Mm.
Is he scooping the cash before he retires?
His name won't stop coming up everywhere I look.
And
everywhere
he is touching on, isn't
Graham Norton this, Graham Norton that.
He's getting the books, he's getting the gin, he's getting the boy, he's getting Wheel of Fortune, he's getting RuPaul's Drag Race, Yeah, would he be 60?
Wasn't he on the Late Late a couple of weeks ago and he was talking about it?
Yeah, you see, well, I was at the premiere, so he was at the same premiere as me.
Yeah.
And then he boots off to do the Late Late.
Kept that quiet, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were like, oh, where's Graham? Is he going to have a drink now? He's on the Late Late.
How did you find the show, anyways?
Really hard.
Yeah.
I found the whole thing. Do you know, I didn't realise how much I would smile.
Yeah. I thought that
you
was
smile all the time.
A smile and a smirk.
Yeah.
And then a laugh are two totally different things. I feel like I smirk when I just talk naturally. Mm. And people are like,
that's it.
People on the show would have smirked and like, just like, all right. And they're like, oh, that's it. Bang, you laughed. That's it. And they're like, what? Mate, I literally just smirked.
Yeah, totally.
I haven't seen that yet, so.
Even that's when what people, like, you're supposed to make everybody laugh. Yeah.
And you can't. But you can't smile either.
But like, Terrence, I mean, there's one of them where they, like, it just goes, boom, freeze frame on that little smirk.
Gone.
Oh, right, I don't like that.
Because even like, when you tell someone to fuck off, you smile.
Yeah.
Fuck, like you're smiling.
Smiling there, you know what I mean?
Smiling. So I found that really hard. I had like props, costumes, the whole shebang. Like you talk to production about things you'd like to do. Didn't have time to do any of them. So I was too busy going around freaking out, trying to control my face from moving. Some people are really good at it. And I don't know how they did it. My only tactic was, I had all the props and all that I didn't get to use, but my only tactic was to just ask Amy Huberman like dirty questions about her husband. I just thought, the nation wants to know.
Someone's going to give in there. Someone's
I think I was asking her, like, does Brian enjoy a finger up the hole? All this fucking shit. She was well able for her. She was like, yeah, he loves it.
Okay. It didn't get good reception though, didn't it? Do you think that's the reviews, Irish people being like, who would they
think? Yeah, like the review, because I've done a sketch show before and I remember that, I can't remember what the review was, but I think the review of that was kind of like, yeah, it's okay, whatever, you know, kind of 6 out of 10. The reviews for this were like real bad. Now, having said that, I didn't actually read the reviews, but I read, because that was behind the paywall, I'm not paying for that. Well, I read the headline.
Yeah.
And I think one of them was steaming hot turd or something. I was like, fucking hell. But out of all the things I've done, it's the one that I've gotten the most messages about, the most people saying it to me, the most like positive stuff from it. Mm. Or even like I could tell when people were watching it because I'd start getting new people following me and messages and stuff. So, I mean, that's the only way I can judge it. So I was like delighted with the response from people that were watching it. So we did do a big fucking, me and Deirdre did a big fucking rant calling out one of the fellas who did the review because we were like, that's too fucking harsh. We kind of ripped him a bit. But you see, like the show was, it's a format show. So they've done it in like Brazil.
Germany,
France.
Which is a mad one.
Yeah.
Not as such thing as German comedians.
Oh, and they love it in Germany, supposedly. Yeah. Like they've done like multiple seasons of it there. So it's like, it's a tried and tested thing. Like, right, if you were going to do something on Prime Video, would you want to do a different format? Probably, because I was fucking shy at it. But like, I think the Irish one was good. Like, I watched them and I enjoyed it, so. And I'm getting knocked out real early. Do you know what I mean? And I continued watching it after I'd left, so. Yeah,
invested in it now.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it.
You have your own podcast?
Yes.
Tell us about this.
About this? No, energy's gone real podcast. Weird. Energy's gone real weird. Now, I do one with my daughter,
mm-hmm.
but we do it very sporadically, and we just, obviously, just the two of us in the house, ripping the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
But she enjoys doing it, so. Happy days. And then, and now I've only just started one with Deirdre. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only just started that.
This why I said, yeah. Tell us about this, because I was like, which one is she going to tell us about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Go on.
So I started one with Deirdre.
Mm-hmm.
And she, basically, it just happened that she asked me, would I do one? And I just couldn't say no to Deirdre O'Kane. Because like, Deirdre O'Kane for me, like, when I was dreaming of like doing something comedy, like she was on Paths to Freedom.
Yeah.
Have you seen Paths to Freedom?
No.
No.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, trust me, you need to watch Paths to Freedom. It's so good. You don't, to know where the face is on you, you don't believe me.
No, we'll take your word for it.
Do watch it.
Right, we'll watch it.
That's the only thing I want you to do now.
Yeah, but like, I know you are bad, but I can't criticize you because I am as well. Do you know when someone says to me, look, oh, you have to see this?
Oh, I know, yeah, I know, yeah. I know. No, but I think you will enjoy Paths to Freedom. It's like a mockumentary. And it's two guys who have been released from prison. One of them is a doctor and then the other one is called Rats and he's from the flats and it follows the two of them.
Spin the Bottle.
No, that's Paths to Freedom.
I thought that was Spin the Bottle.
Yeah. And Deirdre O'Kane is the doctor chap's wife. And she's just a bit of a pisshead and whatever. And your man, Rats, is trying to get his rap career off the ground. So he's rapping and doing gigs and stuff. And, well, you just won't remember this. Now, his mom is played, I can't remember the actress' name, but Hannah, who used to be in Fair City. Do you remember that actress? No. But it's a good show. It has stood.
No, we trust it. Well. Yeah. We'll watch it, like.
Yeah. So anyway,
tell us about your podcast.
So she
freedom.
She's getting a few quid for promoting, isn't it?
I know.
That's the freedom.
Whatever you ask me, I'll sidestep it and tell you something else. Yeah, so Deirdre just asked me to do a podcast, and I was like, "Dunno," and I'm mad about it. But then we went to Singapore, and I saw how I knew she was mad, but when I just saw how, like, I have honestly never, you know, like when you're. Side is just literally like you're in pain. I came back from Singapore and my stomach was sore, like my abs and everything were in pain. And I was like, do you know what? I was like, I have to do a podcast with her. She's just, it's something about it, even like her just being herself, norm, like without trying to be funny, cracks me up. Like the way she walks into a coffee shop just fucking cracks me up. she's like the mayor of Dublin, the way she goes around. People are constantly stopping her. She's waving at them. She wears the shades inside. Yeah. Like she's just.
And what's hilarious. The format? Just the two of you, just day to day life kind of buzz?
I think so. Yeah. We're still.
Are you still pulling your feet?
We're just. It's called keeping it tight. So I suppose it's kind of.
Stop.
Keep it tight.
I see the 2 years.
What?
You look that way and then she gets you a side eye. What
are you doing? I always look to Siobhan when I get nervous. I'm like, where's she going with this one, Siobhan?
And then you give him a side eye. So you're trying to do something here. Innuendos and all. Rub up the 2 years.
No, keep it tight. Yeah. It's just us chatting. I could tell you it's doing this, that, the other. It's just us chatting, just trying to make each other laugh or piss each other off or whatever.
Yeah.
And just slacking each other. So,
similar to us, yeah.
Just having a laugh, yeah.
Come here, Emma, you're doing a few shows, are you not, no?
I am, yeah. I'm doing a tour.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting in March.
That's a bit of a big deal, no? March is in about 20 minutes.
I know.
Yeah. After the leap year.
I know, yeah.
What's that called? The comedy callback?
Callback. Very good callback.
Yeah. He's doing an open week.
Seven in the International Bar, yeah. It's actually a hip that place is. No, your man's a muppet.
Your man got smart with us.
He started on the television. Yeah. We actually never spoke about this.
Oh, the MC?
Into the comedy cellar in the International Bar. So we were looking for the downstairs. I was like, mate, where's the comedy cellar? And he's like, oh, it's upstairs. And I was like, the comedy cellar? He's like, yeah, that's the whole point of the joke. And I was like, oh, all right. He was just real smart about it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of the joke. And I was like, all right, Kevin Hart.
But then remember he said something like, he said, no, if you did a show or something.
Oh, yeah. He's like, who are yous anyways? And I was like, oh, we're just coming up to see a few of the acts.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
And he said something like, yeah, yous would know if he's ever done a show.
Yous would know if he's ever done a show or something. Something real smart was like for nothing.
Which was funny because it was the week before we done Vicar Street.
Mm.
And we were like, you fucking prick.
But like, you're not going to go. I'm doing Vicar Street next week, you're just kind of go, I'll dance on your head. No, you wouldn't do that either.
No,
but you're just kind of like...
I know, because if you'd whacked out the Vicar Street, then...
Hell.
You're a wanker. You're a wanker.
For I wouldn't even go to my own show if I did that.
Yeah.
Turn and tell her what happened to that match.
What? With that little chewy bike?
Yeah.
I don't want to call him a little chewy bike, actually. No, I'm not getting into it. I'm not getting into it, Emma. It's about you. What shows have you got coming up?
So, would you have a little argument with someone?
No,
I tackled the umphalo, right, and he was giving out and all and whatever, and as I was walking up, he just shouted at me. He was like, just because you're on the fucking telly. I was like, what does that even mean?
Start going bright red.
Yeah, I was not getting embarrassed now. I apologised to him after saying that to me. I was like, sorry, and I was like, what does that mean? I just walked off.
And what age is he?
Older than me, and anyways, he's definitely tall. He's a goalkeeper.
Okay.
He's now got a young gun 30. You know that. You get the 30 yard and he goes, no, I can't play outfield anymore. Put me in the
goal. So you were just going bright
red. But why did he say that?
Turn bright red.
Yeah.
Oh.
Me. I took a turn I wasn't supposed to take there, and someone goes, think you knew that because you're on the Late Late Show? I was like, sound.
Everything is Everything is that. I skipped the queue in the coffee shop the other day and the fella said it to me. Just because you're on the telly, you think you can skip the queue. I said, no, pal, I just didn't see the fucking queue. That's all. I'll step back now. Like, what are you talking about?
Was it even worth it? Like,
no, no, it's never worth it.
I know that you said it's at the cost of us money. It's definitely not worth it. This is just adding on to it.
You're basically paying to get slagged,
yeah,
by everyone you know and strangers.
That could have been the worst thing we've ever done. Worst decision we ever made.
Yeah. That was that actually
you can't resist it. You can't resist it. The ego in you can't resist it because you want to be able to say to your ma, I'm going to be on the late.
She was in the audience.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? You think you're the dog's bollocks, you're leaving and everyone's like, just because you're on the telly. It's all you hear now. Because you're autographed, you were on the telly. All right.
All right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Want them to admire you from afar, don't you?
You want someone to just say hello to you, Emma. That's all you want. You don't want people going, give your autograph on the late day.
How are you doing? How's your day going?
Yeah. you're just getting aggro for it. So.
Yeah. I think, like you said,
we deserve every bit of aggro we get, though, because we're two fucking idiots.
No, we are.
Neck was going on the telly. Who would think his ass sitting on the late telly? Can't even drink a cup of water without spilling.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, here we are.
I actually, can
you
I
never even got around to your talk.
Can I tell you something?
Now.
Can I tell you something? I had noticed that you spilt the water on yourself on the late when I was
just putting her out there.
Well, you were trying to be nice earlier on by going, no, did you? Did you know that you spilled it?
And I remember I said, he's after spilling the water.
I'm a clumsy bastard, honestly.
But it's, do you know what? I feel like doing little things like that on the telly is not a bad thing then.
We can just see. Did it on purpose.
Did you? To be relatable.
Yeah. He's a humble youngler. He can't drink water either.
Like him, yeah.
He's just like me. He spills every tour drink as well.
They'll do a photo shoot with you for like Sunday Life magazine. It would be you in trousers with fucking
Balling down the board and everywhere. But your tour. It's happening in March.
Never
said where it was. Look, it's just Emma Doran's on tour in March. Yes. Look, finding out.
No, I'll tell you. EmmaDoranComedy.com. All my tickets there. It's called Dilemma.
Right. Like Nelly and Kelly.
Yeah. Basically, my dilemma at the moment is I'm not sure whether I'm going to end up getting pregnant next or my daughter. And neither one I want. So I'm turning 40. See, she's going to be 21. I'm going to be 40. I don't want to be a granny, although I will get on the late late for that, in fairness, wouldn't you? That'd be a good yarn, yeah? Well, we don't want that. So, yeah, it's all about turning 40,
like having
joke.
A race or something?
No. No, no, I'm slipping the pill in our tea every morning. Morning! Drink up. just having a laugh and going around the country, finishing in Vicar in May.
Starting where?
Starting in the Whale Theatre. In Greystones.
They're
sold now. And Dreoct is sold. Did you do there? No, you just go for the big gigs here.
Or we just do Dublin.
Do the big. Dreoct is Blanche.
That's not Dublin.
That's, yeah.
Oh, isn't it?
No, it is. But Talla is not Dublin either. Mm-hmm. So, there's town and that's it for me.
So where is Talla?
Talla is Wicklow. Half Wicklow.
Okay.
Half.
Yeah, well, it is fairly close to the Dublin.
Blanche is like basically Dunboyne. Basically,
Talla is very high up.
Very high up.
My ears pop when I go to Talla.
Yeah.
I honestly believe you because my fella used to live in Kiltipper.
Where the fuck is that?
It's in Talla.
Yeah.
But it's near the stadium. And it's like a fucking wind tunnel up there. It's a different climate up there. Do you know what I mean?
I think I've ever been to Talla 3 times in my life.
I was in Johnny Fox's. No, Johnny Fox's in Talla?
Yeah.
It's up the mountains.
Well, that's kind
of. That's not Talla.
That's not Talla.
Is it not?
No. That's kind of a Farnham.
Yeah, it is.
The highest pub in Ireland, isn't it?
My ears genuinely pop.
Blue Light is.
You go through Talla and all, though, no?
You can, yeah.
Yeah.
You go through Santry to get to the airport. The airport's not in Santry.
It's close. It's like Swords on the airport, no?
Not really. Johnny Fox's pub. Is Johnny Fox's pub not on the mountain? That's the whole point. It's the highest pub in Ireland.
Is it not the Blue Light is the highest pub now?
I haven't a clue.
The light on the wall
of Johnny Fox's literally says the highest pub.
Oh, does it?
Ireland.
Well, I don't really go because how do I get back then? Do you know what I mean?
How'd you grow up?
What do you mean you get back?
People drive up.
That's what you do.
Yeah, but I want to have a drink now.
You can drink drive up there. It's driving that far.
Max!
There's a Healy Ray or something up there giving out passes.
I'm not saying you shouldn't.
But you can, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You can.
You shouldn't.
It's
don't.
You shouldn't. No, just bring a designated driver and then you take turns. Next week, you'll drink and they'll drive. Emma, what website did you say you get them on?
emmadoran.comedy.com.
Right, tour starting in March.
March.
Finishing up in Vicar Street in May.
And then I'm going to the UK in October.
Another tour?
Yeah, UK tour. And I'm doing Leicester Square Theatre.
You're up there with that?
Yeah. So,
you're a bit of a big deal is what you're saying.
That's me next. No, that's me next plan now. Mm. A few quid over there. So, yeah, I'm going for it now. Do you know what I mean?
You're fucking
I'm
right.
I'm nearly 40, like.
You have to be on the telly load of times.
Might as well give
going
it a whirl.
Going to Singapore and all, do you know what I mean? You're dead fucking right. Fair play to Emma. Thanks very much for coming
in. Thanks for having
me. No, you're welcome.
In, you're a legend.
Great crack.
All right. Siobhan, do you want to take us out there?
Boom.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Call your waiting it now. Till your body attend. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that. The hip knocker. Go down. Go down. Go down.